What's the best way to prepare for disaster? It's a question lots of people are asking these days as the planet heats up and we face one unprecedented disaster after another. My interest in disasters started with one specific disaster that took place in Chicago in July 1995, one of the deadliest heat waves in U.S. history so far.
When I moved here in 1994, it was just a year before the heat wave in 95, and with the weather we're having this weekend, there couldn't be a more timely time to talk about this. The 1995 Chicago heat wave, and I'm very happy to have in studio Judith Helfand. And Judith, I'm pronouncing the last name right, I hope?
Helfand, yes.
Yeah, okay, good.
It means elephant in Yiddish.
Okay. Well, you look fabulous, so let's not give people on the radio the wrong idea. Cooked, Survival by Zipco, Peabody Award-winning filmmaker Judith Helfand's investigation into the politics of disaster. 739 people died. Now, we're not talking about 1900 here. We're not talking about 1850. We're talking about an era where air conditioning existed, that we had, you know, EMTs and people could be rescued. But it turns out the zip code piece of this is too big a part of the story, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Talk about that.
Well, the people who lived and died during that heat wave were experiencing health disparity and inequity and the long-term impact of economic exclusion and the long-term impact of segregation for generations. So what happens with an extreme weather event often is that not only does it reveal the long-term impact of us denying climate change or the climate crisis, but it reveals the long-term impact of us as a society and a nation denying the long-term impact of segregation, the impact of...
Well, the real-world health implications, right?
Inequities. Right, absolutely. So the inequities that exist every single day and that determine who lives and dies early and earlier in their life expectancy every single day absolutely plays itself out.
There's a lot of well-meaning people who will say things like, if it's so terrible in this neighborhood or that neighborhood, why do they live there? You live where you live because that's where you live.
Well, and this was where you live, especially if it's a community that you love and you've lived there, or your family has lived there for generations.
And what do we know? We know that 99.9% of the people in the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago and New York and anywhere else in the country, all they want is the same thing everybody else wants. And in 1995, when all this hit, the heat wave, there weren't cooling centers. There weren't places that you could go.
There were some cooling centers.
Not like they're publicized today. Not like, you know, there weren't buses driving around picking people up and taking them places. It was almost like a blizzard that set down, and you were on your own or you were up to your neighbor to check on you and stuff. And the people that died, we're not saying all of them could have been saved, but a lot of people didn't have to die.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that. I mean, one thing is that is for sure. And there's a map that was created by Dr. Steve Whitman, who was the chief epidemiologist at the time for the city. And he plotted where the greatest heat deaths were. And that's exactly where the greatest amount of poverty was. And it was also where, even then, and certainly now, the greatest amount of empty lots, the greatest amount of boarded up buildings, the greatest amount of heart disease, diabetes, death by breast cancer, death by treatable diseases on one side of town, death by treatable diseases that on the other side of town don't go untreated.
And you think about people that are medically fragile to begin with.
Absolutely.
And you fold in 100 degree to 110 degree heat indexes, it's over.
And exactly. You fold in the fact that they might be afraid to go outside, or they might not know their neighbors anymore, because there's been so much movement, and there's so much gentrification on some level that there's a lot of isolation.
And people don't want to ask for help. Right. You know, people don't want to ask for help, and some of that stuff is neighborhood, some of it isn't. But, well, tell you what, I want to make sure people know where they can see Cooked. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and then I want you to tell people where you can see Cooked. And I want to talk to you just quickly, because we'll run out of time, about how you put a story together, because I think it's really fascinating. So for all of you wondering how to be an award-winning documentarian, stand by. We'll answer the question in just a second. We'll give you all the secrets. All There's no way to have enough time to do this topic justice fairly, but I do want you to know Cooked is making its Chicago premiere right now through the 25th at the Gene Siskel Film Center, of the School of Art, the Art Institute. 24 years to the day after the 1995 Chicago heat wave, it opened, and there are panel discussions that are taking place tonight and tomorrow night. What is the one tonight that we're talking about?
Tonight is called Radical Resilience, the Art and Soul of Placemaking, Place-Taking Back, and Transformation. And the people who are going to be speaking, we kind of are framing them as a new brand of community-based first responders. And they are addressing the inequity and the long-term impact of segregation and racism on a daily basis that determines who lives and dies every day. But they are doing it in such an extraordinary way that I believe that if we invested, you know, in these kind of community-based responses and community-based institutions, that's where the heat emergency plan is. It's a human emergency plan.
Right. And to take it that seriously and treat it like it's don't react. Don't wait and then react.
There's no reason
act
to.
Now.
We know exactly which part of the city is living well and or dying early every single day. I don't know if you know that. I'm sure you do. A big study just came out by NYU based on public health data from all across the country, and they looked at the life expectancy gap in cities across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And in Chicago, it's 30 years. So in Inglewood, people on average might die at 61.
It's outrageous.
And in Streetersville, 91. That's the health. That's the public health emergency, and that is completely linked to what could happen during an extreme weather event.
If people can't get to the Siskel Center, give them a website they can go to.
www.cookedthefilm.com.
And keep up the fine work you're doing. We're not going to tell documentarians how to do your job yet, but I think it's really interesting the way you do. It's always been called, in the stuff I've seen about you, connecting the dots.
Yeah.
You know, almost investigative reporting, but then putting the story together as you found the facts to be.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of, I try to make it somewhat transparent, somewhat quirky,
mm-hmm.
a little toxic comedy.
And the truth is, it's got to be entertaining. It's got to be entertaining for people to watch it. I don't mean that in a flip way. I'm saying you have to entertain people to engage them in the truth.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you.
Thank you so much for the work you're doing. And thank you, Chicago. I hope you'll join us at the Siskel.
And let's stay safe this weekend.
Yes.
Judith Helfand.